64, we were fighting a war for reasons we hardly knew. Many tears had been shed, many loved ones left dead in the fight between the gray and the blue. I recall that a lad to his mother and dad said goodbye at the old garden gate. And I heard mother say, son, we'll watch and we'll pray if it takes you forever we'll wait.
Have someone play Dixie for me. When they lower me down in that sweet Georgia ground, have someone play Dixie for me. Fulfilled his last request, what God gave he now taken away. With his battles now won, Lord, his song it was sung while the tune to sweet Dixie did play. If they carry me back on that long southern track, I hope you will answer my plea. When they lower me down sweet Georgia ground, have someone play Dixie for me. When they lower me down in that sweet Georgia ground, have someone play Dixie for me.
Thank you. This song probably doesn't make much sense unless I tell the story that goes with it. Just still, it's a good song. We tried to get this on our next to last record, and then our last record, and it's going to be on our next record, because it's a hard song to do because it's got different words, and you can't use them all over again. I really don't know why we kept messing it up, but we finally got a recording of. And I remember one time, back when it was still a Winter Hawk Festival, my son had just started Cornell University, and he had come up to the festival and just kind of caught me by surprise. And whenever it was all over, he said, well, let's go out to dinner, son. I said, well, I can't. I got to get back to the airport and get back to Colorado. And he said, how come you're going back to Colorado? And I said, well, tomorrow night's a big West Cliff jam session. I always was proud of my son, cause not just because he was a lot smarter than I was, because how could he help but be? But because sometimes he was smart enough to say things that made pretty good sense to me. And that night he said, well, let's see, Dad, if I understand this correctly. You're standing around at your own bluegrass festival, finest acoustic musicians in the whole world standing around with nothing to do, and you're heading back to Colorado to play music out in the street with a bunch of cowboys that ain't even got all their fingers. That's about the size of it, son. Now here's the thing about the cowboys, see? They never sing nothing they don't mean. And the other thing is, when you play with the cowboys, I don't know whether they just know all songs I don't know or whether they just know them different than I know them. But they don't pay no attention to having a bunch of musical instruments around either and mess up a song. You know, like they don't care if there's a saxophone or a bagpipe or even a drum or something. You know, if you got one, you can come out there and play it. And they always played songs I'd never heard. And one night they played this song, and I'd heard it before. And the fellow that played it was a man named Danny Loper, has a little ranch right outside of town. And any cowboy that ever come through town need a little work, he could count on going out there and getting work. Even if Danny didn't hardly have nothing himself, he'd give work to that feller till he could get on. Anybody that's carrying a saddle down the street was usually heading to Danny Loper's ranch. And I happened to ask him that, and I said, how come you do that song? That's a big Nashville hit, kind of. He said, no. He said, that song started right here at the foot of Kit Carson Mountain. And he told me the story. And some of you will know it's because I've told this before, but I'd like to just tell for the people that haven't heard it that, and of course, cowboying itself kind of like ain't the most respected profession, but thing I learned about it is nobody ever went into the cowboy line of work because they liked the cows so much. It's usually because they had a horse could count up pretty good. And I always loved that. When I was a kid, I don't know if anybody ever knows, but Roy Rogers had a horse that could do integral calculus. And it didn't matter what problem Roy gave to Trigger could solve it. He'd give him a simple one like, Trigger, what's 2 + 2? And Trigger, and then he'd give him a hard one, you know, Trigger, what's 8 - 4? Trigger, what's 24 / 6? You couldn't hardly stump Trigger. He got them all, every time. He never missed one. And so it turned out that what had happened was this rich Texan had a... Those words kind of go together, don't they? Rich Texan. Rich Texan. You don't suppose he was arrogant, do you? This arrogant rich Texan. Well, now don't get snotty. Could have been T. Boone Pickens, just Welch on a bet. You guys are keeping up with the news, aren't you? Oh, man. Well, his daughter fell in love with a cowboy, and the family was really against that. They wanted to send her off to France to go to school or something. I didn't even, maybe that was Paris, Kentucky. But, you know, these two kids had hormones coursing through their blood and everything, and they wasn't to be turned down, you know, so they ran away. And the problem was, as Danny explained, and I never had thought of it up till then, was they didn't know where to run because it was all empty space, the Stake Plains of West Texas. And so they run across there from stake to stake, and they got to the old Chisholm Trail that ran right up the front range of the Rocky Mountains to where people took the cattle, the trailhead in Denver, and they just started running up there. And the rancher hired some Texas Rangers to go after them and bring his daughter back. And they caught up with him right where, right kind of where we played last week, the Wet Mountain Valley. It's a beautiful place to think of a tragic story.